Throughout the summer, we have been taking a look at Christian virtues and how we can grow in those Christian virtues. Today we're going to be taking a look at one that does apply to all of us, but all of us, I would imagine, have at some point in our life gotten to the point where we just say, I can't take it anymore. I just can't do it. It's too hard. I don't have the strength. And it doesn't seem to matter what it is, whether it's physical or personal loss, whether it's a career setback, whether it's a challenging relationship, or we just don't feel like facing that metaphorical mountain. It feels like we are pushing a stone up a mountain, and first of all, the stone is too big for us, and second of all, there doesn't seem to be any top to the mountain. Most of us have probably been to that point where we would say, I'm at the end of my rope. It just feels like we are not capable of moving on. But then we hear of somebody who has worse circumstances than we have. And then we kind of have to reassess and we say, well, okay, their circumstances seem to be worse than mine and they are managing to push through and they seem to be emerging stronger and they are flourishing. But how do they do it? How do they get through things? I just don't understand. And we would like to be able to learn how to get through things when life gets hard. It's called perseverance. And perseverance is one of those things that the Bible says is a virtue. Now, we've already talked about how virtues are those things that are important, those things that we should value, those things that God even says would be something that we should uphold. And perseverance is not just getting through the physical things in life. There is also perseverance in the spiritual aspect of life. And this important virtue is found in Scripture. Jesus' brother, James, writes about it very clearly. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. The frustration, though, about perseverance is in order to know whether you've got it, you need to have trials. It's sort of like people that say, oh, I'm just praying for more patience. And I say, oh, be careful. Because if you're praying for patience, that means that God is going to put some things in your path that you need to be patient about. It's the same way with perseverance. Lord, help me to be able to handle things a little better. Help me to be more persistent and help me to have more perseverance. And so the Lord says, okay, get ready because you're going to receive some trials and tribulations, because how are you going to know if you're growing in this virtue of perseverance if you don't have any trials or tribulations? And so James is trying very, very clearly to establish the fact that, yeah, trials and tribulations are going to come, but what value do you place on these trials and tribulations? And sometimes learning to persevere is truly all about perspective. It's truly all about attitude. We need to take a look at our trials and tribulations in a different way. The Apostle Paul says that our troubles are light and momentary. And once again, sometimes we would like to say, Paul, you're crazy, okay? Because my troubles and my trials are not light and momentary. They have been going on for years, and they weigh me down, and they are heavy, and they are a burden. But it is all about attitude, and it is about perspective. And I know that we say, Paul, you really don't have a clue. Well, when I think about trials and tribulations, my mind always goes to a man that I've mentioned in a sermon several years ago. His name is Nick Vujicic, I think is how it's pronounced. And he was born without arms or legs. Let me just show you a clip.
I want you to know that the fear of being alone and having no purpose in your life is one of the most disabling things that you'll ever experience in your life. And you need to know the answer of two questions. Who are you and what do you want? For me, I realized as a kid, yeah, there was a choice I had to make. Either believe what the world said and only believe that broken pieces are ahead for me, or believe that God loves me. It was hard. Because when God says in the Bible, I have a plan for you, I'm thinking, really? And I prayed for arms and legs. What do you want? I wanted arms and legs. It's not that difficult to believe. The God of the Bible says He has a plan for you. Do you see this timeline? I'm 8 years old, going forwards into the future. No idea what was ahead. The Bible says He has a plan. We don't see the plan, so it's kind of foolish to believe something that you can't see. But faith helps you to do that. Faith is exactly that, and faith comes when you hear the Word of God. When I heard the Word of God, I still didn't understand His love, His plan. So I prayed for a blueprint of His plan. And He didn't come back to me on that request. And when you don't hear from God, you then start to conclude what you believe. From then on, do you decide to keep on believing and waiting to see what happens and trust Him? Or do we conclude to do this? There is no God. I'm alone. There is no hope. There is no purpose. I'm getting bullied for the rest of my life. I'm never getting married. Never gonna have kids. Never gonna be happy. Man, was I wrong or what? And at age 10, I tried to end my life, but I'm still here. All I could see were broken pieces, and I had no idea that there would ever be hope for someone truly disabled. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, the whole thing. I mean, on every checkbox. I wasn't myself sometimes. I was so angry at my life. And I want you to know in your life, there will be times where you feel like you'll be on the edge. But when you look at the word disabled, D-I-S-A-B-L-E-D, when you turn your back on the lies like this, and you come to the truth will set you free. Do I look disabled to you today? No. When you put a G-O, go, walk by faith and not by sight, and you put a G-O in front of the word disabled, it spells God is able to do what? Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly, abundantly more than you could ever ask, imagine, or attain. What does that mean? It actually means that God has a good plan. He never withholds any good gifts. If God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then who can God not use? Amen? He loves you, and He can do anything with your broken pieces.
Powerful words. And Nick understands the whole gamut. Like he says in his own words, he tried to take his own life. He tried to drown himself when he was 10 years old. Why? Because he couldn't see any reason to persevere. He had no arms and no legs. He had prayed for arms and legs, but God hadn't given him arms or legs. He was at the end of his rope. But he doesn't tell you in this particular clip, but there are other clips if you go on YouTube, is when he was 15 years old, he was reading a passage of scripture out of the book of John, chapter 9, where Jesus is healing a man who is born blind. And Nick is reading this passage of scripture, and all of a sudden it dawns on him that the disciples are confused. This man was born blind. Why was he born blind? Was it because he sinned? Was it because his parents sinned? Because back in that ancient day, people thought that if you had a handicap, especially if you were born with some kind of a handicap, that must mean that there was some sort of a sin involved. Because in that ancient time, everything was connected to a god of some sort. There was a divine connection to birth and death and the sunlight and the moon and the crops and harvest, fertility. There was a god connected with everything in life. So if a man was born blind, there had to be some physical reason for it. What the disciples of Jesus didn't expect was the words of Jesus when he said, this man didn't sin, nor did his parents, but that the works of God might be revealed in him. When Nick read that, he said, hey, this is talking about me. This man was born blind. I was born without any arms or legs. I'm 15 years old. I've been bullied my whole life. But if God is capable of displaying his glory through a man who was born blind, why can't he display his glory through a man born without arms and legs? God is capable of giving us life abundantly and filling us with exceeding great joy, as he already said, and displaying his great power in and through us. The issue at hand is not the power of God to use us or the plan of God to use us. The issue is, will you persevere regardless of your limitations and regardless of the circumstances that are going on in your life? You see, we don't need to be identified by our trials and tribulations. Rather, our trials and tribulations are here to lead us to perseverance, which leads us to hope, which leads us to a purpose, which leads us to an understanding that God uses broken pieces. Perseverance forces us to see value in the pain in this life, to see value in the setbacks and the failures. There is value in the struggle. Maybe you've heard about this illustration before with a butterfly. When a butterfly is in the chrysalis or in the cocoon, at some point it needs to struggle to get out of that cocoon. Those of you who may have been in science at some point, did you ever try to cut away the cocoon to save the butterfly from all the struggle? Do you know what happens? The butterfly will never be able to fly. Because the pressure of the cocoon and the struggle to get out of that cocoon is necessary in order for the blood and the body fluids of that butterfly to go into the wings and to do what it needs to do. The struggle is absolutely necessary if the butterfly is going to fly. You take away the troubles, the butterfly will not fly. When we struggle, it does not mean that God has abandoned us. It doesn't even mean that God has caused our trials. Sometimes we would like to blame God, even though our trials are because of our bad choices. Sometimes we would like somebody else to take the blame instead of accepting responsibility. But we need to remember that regardless of whether the choices were ours or the circumstances of life were forced upon us, we need to remember that God is always with us in our struggles. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 reminds us that no temptation has overcome us except what is common to mankind. Because you see, these trials and tribulations can lead us to listening to the wrong voice And we are tempted to adhere to what Satan says about God has abandoned you. He doesn't care about you. He left you. And we can't succumb to that. You see, we can sometimes pray like Nick all we want for arms and legs, but it may never show up. But that doesn't mean that we don't have any value in God's eyes. Perseverance allows us to arrive at a place where we can see our past for what it really is. And maybe we do need to repent of our past. You remember Peter in Scripture, the Apostle Peter? Jesus said, "You are going to deny me three times." Of course, Peter, before that happened, he was making brave claims. You know, "I know that you, Jesus, have predicted that you're going to die, and I get that, but that's not going to happen on my watch. I'm going to stand up for you. I will die in your place. I will not abandon you." And Jesus said, "Peter, you will abandon me. In fact, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows." And I can't even imagine what Peter must have felt. And then it happened. He was in the courtyard and people were questioning who he was, and he did deny that he knew Jesus three times. Peter did exactly what Jesus said he was going to do. And the Bible says he immediately felt remorse and guilt for his failures and ran away. There was another that denied Jesus. His name was Judas. But when Judas's sin was brought to light, he, in his sadness, didn't repent. Instead, he didn't persevere. He went out and hung himself. So what is the difference? Peter was willing to persevere, own up to his own mistakes, repent of those mistakes, and seek forgiveness. And God made Peter a spokesperson for the gospel. Judas didn't persist and ended up taking his own life. He couldn't see any value anymore. Perseverance was not necessary in his life. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that Peter's life was just, you know, easy road from that point on, because there is another time where the Apostle Paul had to correct Peter in Galatians chapter 2, and then in one other location. Peter was teaching that in order for Gentiles to become Christians, first they had to become Jewish. They had to participate in circumcision. And Paul comes up to Peter and says, "That's not how it works." I mean, that's probably not the biblical translation, but that's basically what he was saying. "Come on, Peter, you know this. We are saved by God's grace. We are not saved by works." And so Peter had to admit his mistake. You see, that's the beautiful thing about the Apostle Peter. He was teachable. And sometimes we think we've got all the answers and nobody needs to correct us and nobody needs to teach us anything, but we all make mistakes. And perseverance gives us time to remember that we can grow. Perseverance also gives us an opportunity to remember that our circumstances don't define us. We, as Nick has already said, but there is a biblical character, you probably already remember him, his name is Job. Just real quickly, his story is pretty remarkable. He had all kinds of horrible circumstances happen to him in a short amount of time. You remember how they say bad things come in threes? For Job, bad things came in sevens. Job lost all of his crops, and then he lost all of his cattle, and then he lost all of his servants. And then a fire ravaged through the house where his kids were, and he lost all of his kids, 10 children. And it all happened in the same day. Because according to Scripture, as one servant came and said, your crops have been destroyed, then right at the on the heels of that one, then another servant came and said, marauders have come and they have stolen all of your cattle. And then right after that, I mean, these were happening one after another, after another, after another, seven times. And then he lost his health. And all of these things were forced upon Job. He didn't do anything. He hadn't sinned. This was not some kind of punishment. This was the work of Satan in Job's life. And his perseverance is also mentioned by Jesus' brother James, because James says, as you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And if you read all the way through to the end of Job's story, you see that God did restore Job, and he gave him his health back, and he gave him his wealth back, and his land, and his crops, and his animals, and even children. I'm not saying that is going to happen in everybody's circumstance, but it is used as an example of perseverance. What if Job had given up, and he was ready to give up? In fact, his wife even encouraged him to give up, but Job persevered. You see, perseverance is not something that can be done in isolation. The Bible reminds us that this was one of the reasons why God gave us the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I am so glad that when I don't know what to say or what to pray, all I have to believe in is that the Holy Spirit knows my heart, knows my pain, knows my struggle, and can take my issues to God directly. Because there are days when all I can do is just go, oh, not again. And I have the Holy Spirit on my side. And that helps me to have faith. And the Holy Spirit takes the pressure that I'm under when I don't know what to pray, and he intercedes for me, which is why the Bible, Paul also in Ephesians, tells me to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, even those prayers that I don't want to pray, even those prayers that are, Lord, please, I don't know what to say, but you know. And so I'm lifting up my need in prayer. Plus, we don't have to go through our trials by ourselves. The Bible always says, I mean, there's multiple times when the Bible tells us to encourage one another, build one another up. So you don't have to go through your trials and your tribulations alone. Now, I get it. Many of us are of that mindset that when I'm going through something bad, I don't want people to know what I'm going through. I don't want them to gossip and talk. So I'm just going to keep my issues to myself. My friends, that's what the body of Christ is for. We're here to support and to encourage and to be there and to build up one another. That's why God made us a body. There's no such thing as an island in the family of God. But we need to persevere. You see, if there were no trials, we wouldn't need to encourage one another. But because our Lord knows that we will have trials, we need each other, and we need to be open. Finally, perseverance is one of those things that does help our faith grow stronger. Maybe you've read out of 2 Peter chapter 1, where it talks about, let me just read it for you. Where it talks about all of the things that we are supposed to add to our faith. In verse 5 it says, for this very reason make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because God has a plan for all of us. He wants us to keep growing. Why? Well, because there is a hope and there is a reward. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36 says, "For you have need of endurance, perseverance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." So stay the course. Stay the course. I mentioned this, I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but after Judy's mom's funeral, I was talking with Judy's uncle. And he told me that Judy's mom had trials and tribulations from the time she was young. At age 14, she had an appendix that burst, maybe it was 15. They thought she was going to die then. And then when she was a couple years older, she had to have all of her teeth removed because they were rotting in her mouth. And then, you know, the pains and the trials just kept going. When she was 45, she had her first hip replaced. Over the course of her life, she had both hips replaced twice and both knees replaced twice and her shoulder replaced and her ankle fused together. I don't know that she ever lived one single year without pain. But she persevered. And she was able to find joy. Why? Because there is a reward that is promised. So stay the course. Endure the trials and tribulations and temptations. I'm sure that you will have times where you'll get mad. But don't give up. Don't give up. Persevere. And if you need help, the Holy Spirit will help. The family of God will help. We will be there for you because God can use everybody's broken pieces.